T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Beach and Company here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's 11:08. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. I've been warning you what's coming. The impeachment triggered by Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to be, if you thought Kavanaugh was a tough process, that was a dress rehearsal for what we're about to go through. And in Washington right now, we have a government shutdown that the president tried to stop by putting forward a solution to the DACA problem, the young illegal immigrants brought here as children that are right now in limbo. He put together a proposal to give them 3 years more authorization to be in the country so that the Congress can deal with the problem. They've never dealt with it. And, of course, the Democrats said that's a non-starter because, in the end, they will not give one penny for the wall. Now, government shutdown, we don't feel it all that much out here in Western New York. And that, by the way, is a problem for the Democrats, for the people who love government. I call them the bipartisan government fetishists, the people who believe that government is a solution to everything. But it's important to note that there are people caught between us and them. One in particular is my friend Bill in Rockville. Bill is a government employee. I've known him for many years. And he and his colleagues at his government agency are dealing with yet another government shutdown. Bill, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, good. How is this impacting you in particular?
It's a pain in the you-know-what.
Right.
Anytime you don't get paid and you're not sure when you're going to get paid, you've obviously got to make adjustments with your life and everything, and some are more fortunate than others. I personally am not in too bad a spot yet. I mean, we're heading into uncharted territory now, being what I think your guys heard on the radio said it's the day 31 or so of it.
Right.
And actual work day is a little less than that because they're throwing in weekends and stuff. But I realized out there, conservatives like us out in the country, and a lot of the rank and file, if you will, conservative constituents in our country, use the federal workforce as a bunch of elitists and, you know, well-off to do crybabies in the Washington area. And, you know, there's definitely some of that, but by and large, the way, like when you hear Mark Levin talk about the FBI and the corruption at the FBI, he always to put in a disclaimer there that he doesn't mean the rank and file that are just simply doing their jobs. There's a lot of that in the federal workforce where, you know, no one's particularly wildly partisan and just, you know, has their job and had it for a while. And no matter what the administration is at any given time, you go in and do the best you can at your job. There are a lot, too, that fit the characterization that's out there. But by and large, I'm talking about the rank and file here who are just pawns in a big game. And so that part of it gets, you know, quite tiring. I think most of us kind of wish everything would work well and the government, the Congress would pass budgets for everything on time and, you know, to last for a fiscal year and fight out the politics in other ways. But I'm hanging in there okay, but a lot aren't. You know, it's difficult. And again, I'm not asking for any violins to be played for us poor feds. I get that sentiment very – I totally understand that.
Tell me, though, Bill, you're doing okay. You save for this. I mean, you realize that shutdowns are part of life in your job.
Right. And every federal employee needs to realize that. I mean, if you've been paying attention to the last, 25 or 30 years, this happens now and again. And I don't want to compare us to servicemen and women at all identically, but in the same sense, when you join the service, you know you run the risk of injury or the ultimate sacrifice. In the same way, if you join the federal workforce, you got to know this could happen. So you should be prepared as best as possible. But I've been there long enough where I've been able to, you know, have enough of a savings to ride this kind of thing out for a little bit. But there are plenty of workers. I don't know if everybody understands. I mean, you know, lower GS levels, like the entry level, the GS-7, I think it is now, or even bump up to the GS-9 level, you're looking at, you know, salaries of 50 or 60 grand a year in those ranges. And you know as well as I do the cost of living in the D.C. area. I mean, it's a big, expensive area, due in large part to the federal workforce. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, one of the regular schlubs, if you will, can swing it. You know, it's you're living paycheck to paycheck like a lot of the country is.
So these soup kitchens and things that are springing up around Washington, that's needed.
Yeah, I think for some it is. There's been some nice things like that, and it's kind of it's great to see a private sector part of the country pull together. Like for instance, I didn't take it. But where we go to get some dog food the other day, they are offering free bags and a substantial bag of dog food to furloughed federal employees. If you had your ID and showed that you were one of the unfunded agencies, they give it to you. And I thought, well, that's really great. I didn't need it. I didn't feel right taking that. And I didn't. But, you know, I'm a customer for life because of the gesture. That was really nice. So there's some, you know, there's some of that going on in the area. I live a little bit outside D.C. itself. I've had to go in every day because I'm an accepted employee, which is someone who has to. Most offices have a very, very small staff that may have to come in. Not all of them do, but I'm one of those that does. And so I've been one of the ones who's, you know, working without pay. Most of them are, you know, sitting at home waiting, wondering when they're going to get back. And I know the bill is, again, I don't want to, you know, have violin play for a Fed, really, because people getting laid off out there in the private sector, you know, they're not going to get back pay or maybe not even get their job back at all. So I don't mean to elicit sympathy there. So we are getting it, and that's comforting, but not knowing when and, you know, having to push off your mortgage, we're coming up on the second one now. It gets dicey, and it's quite annoying, but I personally am behind the president on this because I just can't, it's the position of the Democrats is so irrational. I mean, what is wrong with border security? What is wrong with putting some more fencing or wall in places that desperately need it? We've all seen the crimes that are taking place, and they've been highlighted recently, but they happen all the time. And the very people against this, who are vowing not a single dime before they have us work at least or something, were all for it not too long ago. You can Google it up easily. And the press is what bothers me the most. The press and the Dems they rely on ignorance. So they just present the problems and the hassle of it enough where I think that they hope that the general sense is, geez, this didn't happen this crazy when Trump wasn't there. It's all Trump. They just figured the weight of it, like you mentioned to that guy in the last segment about the other thing, that the weight of it will just hopefully people will just get sick of the president and they want to score points that way. And we're just pawns in that big game.
Yeah. Well, I wanted people in Buffalo to understand what's really going on, Bill. I you're a supporter of the president. Do you feel like you're in the minority among your colleagues in the federal workforce?
I think so, because I think generally, I don't think it's as wildly partisan as we're viewed as a political constituency, but clearly the polls and the results of the surrounding areas do go Dem. I think most people are do lean Democrat. But I think the longer it goes and the more unreasonable the congressional side is, that it's just $5.7 billion, something that doesn't even rise to a percentage point in the federal budget, and, you know, that they'll spend on, you know, toilet paper for a month, you know, throughout the entire government, you know, maybe I'm exaggerating there, but you know what I'm saying, pretty soon it gets to become on, just, you know, what's wrong with border security? What's wrong with the border? Why are you holding this up, you know? I'm thinking it might start trending that way. But then again, not everybody's in the office, so it's hard to get a finger on that pulse.
Right. Bill in Rockville, thanks a lot for calling in. I wanted people to hear your story. I've got somebody else I want to talk to right after these messages. Bill, thank you for calling in here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Before we go on, I want to talk to Pat, who Pat is actually from the Buffalo area, lives in Richmond, where she works, Richmond, Virginia, where she works in the federal government. She's got a bit of a different take on the shutdown Pat, thanks for calling in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you've had some real complications, haven't you, with the shutdown?
Oh, absolutely. It's just really been a rough go. Prior to, let me backtrack.
Sure.
In 2013, we were really blindsided. We were caught in between pay periods. And so where I lived before, I had just moved there. And one of the things that happened was that we had another pay period because that was a 16-day shutdown. Then we had to wait another pay period. So we had to wait two pay periods in order to get paid our back pay. And then what happened was when we received our back pay, all that was lumped into one check. So we really didn't regain what we lost. I ended up having to sell things. I had purchased some stocks that I had set aside actually for my children. I had to go ahead and sell those. But this time, at least we had the ability to get one paycheck to tide us over. So, and I think there's a different way of handling the shutdown, to say the least. So, and at least there was a pay period that we received. So I'm very grateful for that. I want to say that I'm a red fed. Right. I do believe in...
People have to understand that when she says red fed, she is a conservative person who works for the federal government.
And I do believe in border security. It is very long past due. The wall is definitely needed. And I don't mean just the wall. I mean everything that encompasses that entire package. I had worked for a couple of federal agencies that were involved in the protection of the United States, and it is very, very past due. One of the things, too, is that you know, I have property in another state that was damaged during this time. And so it's really put me in an unusual...
By the way, Pat means her property was damaged by a natural occurrence. It wasn't by any fault of her own.
No, it was a natural disaster. So it's just been very, very stressful. I've been furniture. Just doing what I can to make ends meet. The food banks, God bless them for everything that they're doing in the Richmond area, Mercy Mall, Chesterfield Food Bank that's privately owned, Armored Down. They have been they're a veterans organization. They have been a great support. Mongrel Fitness, they are giving free classes to all the people that have been furloughed for as long as the shutdown. Very graciously opening their doors. People have been coming together, Great Harvest Bread Store, go in there. So the outpouring, Channel 12 News, they are actually sponsoring a launch at all the Mexican, it's called The Mexican Restaurant, around the Richmond area. They have just been fantastic. So it's just been very, very stressful. And I think I did save. It's just I've been inundated with just too many things that have hit at one time, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, I did save. Sometimes you can't prepare. Like you can't prepare enough. And I guess that's a lesson. And I've taken away some lessons furlough, that's for sure. People that you maybe thought you could count on, perhaps you can't. But somehow God just slips in those other angels that come in and they just lift you up and you get those hugs along the way. And, you know, I just keep saying it'll be okay. It'll be over and it'll be okay. This is just a temporary time. This is just temporary.
You know, you and I have gone back and forth a little bit on social media. We're old friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a little bit heated on too much complaining from the federal workers, et cetera. You've been politely disabusing me of those notions. If people that, you know, what would you have to say to people like me who are like, these federal workers, they're lucky to have their jobs. They should just suck it up.
I think, yes, we are blessed to have a job. And yes, there are great benefits, but it also, we very, very hard. I don't know of any group of individuals that would go to work and not get paid for 5 weeks and drain their bank accounts for gas, for their lunches, for everything else, just to keep their positions. Things happen in life and that you just can't predict what's going to happen. And just, I'm sure not everybody's had a perfect road. To have a, you know, to have some empathy and maybe look back at the times where things weren't just so wonderful and people stepped up for you. I think that's really what it's all about. We're all in this all together. We really are. There's just a lot of things that the Christian base has just been wonderful to support me. That's all I can say. Just the Christian community around here in the Richmond area has just been absolutely outstanding. And just reflect on things that have happened in your past where people have helped you and on due to no fault of your own and have been there for you. So that's really what I would say. And drink a glass of empathy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, and Pat and our previous caller, Bill, they're people that I know, and they support what's going on. They understand that the president is doing this for good reasons, or at least the policy he's trying to follow, trying to pursue, is a good policy. They're caught in the middle of it. I've been out there pounding on the table a bit. I wanted Pat to be on the air today so people understand that there are some folks who are just unlucky and they're caught in the middle of this and they need our support. Pat, thanks a lot for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me. I do appreciate it. And God bless all the other federal and contractor employees that are out there. So chin up, shoulders back, and we'll drive on and we'll get through this.
Right on. Thanks a lot, Pat.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, there are very interesting people all over this world, and there are unfortunate circumstances in every town, village, prefect, city. The one thing about the federal government shutdown is that it's now gone beyond the level that we can even we have never experienced. People like Pat and Bill, not real names, by the way. And I know a lot of people in the federal workforce that do not support the president. They're even more upset about this, of course, because they don't believe in the policy prescription that has precipitated the shutdown. But there are people who believe in this policy prescription who are caught in the middle and who need you to understand that they are not to blame, and they want you to, as she said, take a little glass of empathy, drink it down. We'll be right back after these messages here on News Radio 930 WB. Welcome back to Beach and Company. News Radio 930 WBN is 11:37. I want to remind you, 3 o'clock, Joe Beamer and David Bellavia. It'll be a great show. Tune in, 3 o'clock here on WBEN. Joe Beamer sits in for Tom Bowerly on the Bowerly and Bellavia show. He'll be there with David Bellavia. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach right now. Sandy will be back tomorrow. And I've only got a little bit of time left up until the noon hour. And I got to tell you something, or what's one thing that really strikes me, and it should strike you, as the Mueller team nears its end, at least rumored to near its end, is that Roger Stone is Donald Trump's last man standing. No kidding. Roger Stone may soon be cast in a remake of the movie Beau Geste, where that, you know, lone French legionnaire battles a horde of Arab jihadists, all while he props up corpses all around him to make it look like his fort is full of fellow soldiers. And if Roger Stone is not cast in a remake of BoJest, he really should be. Stone has almost single-handedly held off the Department of Justice, the FBI, overzealous Democratic congressman, and the investigation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller, as reports of Roger's demise have long been premature. The Washington Post recently reported that it was a sign that prosecutors would be moving to charge Roger with a crime. MSNBC headline the other day, Mueller call for the Stone transcript from the House suggests that charges are likely against Stone soon. I'd like to welcome to the show Roger Stone, or BoJest, whatever you want to call him. How you feeling, Roger?
Feel pretty good, Michael. I mean, any day in which I am not falsely charged by the witch hunt investigation of Robert Mueller is a good day. In fact, ABC had a story about 10 days ago. The headline was, what, big news, Roger Stone not indicted today. That's where we've gotten. You know, 2.5 years of this nonsense, when the naked crimes of the Obamas and the Clintons are just there to see, whether it is the sale of 20% of America's enriched uranium to the Russian state-owned energy company in return for $145 million worth of bribes to the Clinton Foundation, or whether it is the use of the illegal and unconstitutional FISA warrants to spy on key members of Donald Trump's circle, or whether it's the use of FBI informants to infiltrate the Trump campaign, including one operative that was sent to speak to both you and I, their crimes are there for everybody to see, imminently chargeable, yet they continue to spin this myth of Russian collusion, which you have coined the Russian collusion delusion, as a distraction to all of their crimes. It would be like a nightmare if it wasn't so true.
And now that the rumor is that it's coming to an end, and they're coming down their last hallway, guns drawn, all those years of Yale Law School training behind them, and you're standing there.
Well, and believe me, I'm prepared to demonstrate real serious prosecutorial misconduct. I'm prepared to prove illegal surveillance of yours truly. I'm prepared to show conflict of interest in these prosecutors who began their investigation into Trump right after they stopped working for Hillary Clinton. It is really extraordinary to read in CNN that the president was startled to learn that the man he just appointed attorney general is Robert Mueller's best friend.
I know. What's that?
And completely in the tank. You know, he says he won't be bullied, and that he won't let politics affect his judgment. Well, what about the politics of the Mueller investigation? Which members of Mueller's strike force voted for and donated to Donald Trump? Which ones would those be?
None.
Oh, none. In fact, you have active supporters of Hillary Clinton now investigating members of the Trump entourage, an egregious conflict of interest. But, of course, the folks over at CNN have no interest in that. They're only interested in, you know, hyping up false charges, fabricated evidently by BuzzFeed, about Michael Cohen, who, by the way, has the most garish sports jackets I've ever seen.
I know.
I didn't know Ralph Jean Perino was making sports jackets, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me, Roger, if they are in fact winding down, and you've held them off this long, do you think, in your heart of hearts, do you think that they're going to come for you before they stop?
Well, it's very hard to say. I mean, their star witness was this clown, Randy Credico. I accurately and truthfully disclosed to the House Intelligence Committee that he was the source who first told me about the significance and the October release date of the WikiLeaks material. He never told me anything about the source or content of those disclosures because I don't think he had any information of that kind. And he was going to be their star witness. He denies all of that. Of course, then I produced text messages proving every bit of it is true. Now suddenly his name has disappeared from the mainstream media.
Completely.
We're at the Daily Beast and the folks at CNN and particularly the people at MSNBC and that swine Ari Melber, whose role models and heroes in life are Elliot Spitzer and Eric Schneiderman. You know, suddenly he's not pushing the Credico narrative anymore. Now their new star witness is Jerry Corsi, and this guy can't keep his lies straight. He says that he told me that John Podesta's emails had been stolen. Never told me anything of the kind. He said on Tucker Carlson he told many people that. He said on MSNBC with Ari Melber he told everybody that. Jerry, I challenge you to name one person you told.
Right.
But in a text or an email, not in the alcoholic haze of your memory. Then he claims that I knew about the NBC Billy Bush grabbed them by the genitals tape in advance, and I asked him to do something about it. That's a bald-faced lie for which there is no corroboration. Again, emerging from his alcoholic memory. But he was perfectly willing to say these things for Robert Mueller. Now he emerges and says that Mueller wanted him to read a script about the president, and he refused. He would like us to believe he's a modern-day George Washington, that he'll never tell a lie. I think he's been an FBI informant from the beginning. I have a raft of emails and text messages that will show that he's a bald-faced liar. His attorney, Larry Klayman, facing disciplinary action before the D.C. bar now for lying. This guy is trying to hold himself out to Trump supporters as some kind of fighter, when the truth is he was perfectly prepared to sell me down the river and others. And he balked only when they told him he would have to plead to a charge.
Right.
So don't buy his act, because it is an act. He's been a deep stater all along. It will ultimately be proven that he's been an informant for the FBI, for Barack Obama's FBI. I'm fairly confident of that.
Roger, this has got to be really stacking up the charges. I mean the costs. Because if, in fact, it's already been terribly expensive. I know you've had several attorneys. And if they, in fact, do indict you, it's going to be the trial of the century, and it's going to cost a ton of money. How the heck are you paying for this?
Well, it's already cost me in excess of $500,000. Despite what you might read online, there's various stories that say I'm worth between 10 and 20 million. Never been. I mean, it's laughable. You know, I have to borrow money for a burger for lunch today. I lost my health and life insurance in December because I couldn't pay the premiums. I had to sell my car. Now if I go anywhere, I have to try to use Uber. It's been debilitating, and my lawyers project it could cost as much as another $2 million. Last week, the Democratic National Committee refiled their lawsuit against me, Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, the Trump campaign, the Republican National Committee, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, the Russian state, Vladimir Putin, Bozo the Clown. This is, and it just flatly says as a statement, just a statement of fact, Roger Stone worked with the Russians to hack the DNC. Well, that's false. They provide no evidence or proof of this malicious and defamatory charge, but they just put it out there. Now, I will win that lawsuit, and they were not happy when my lawyers signified that they wanted them to preserve their computer servers so that we may examine them in discovery, even though Congressman Adam Schiff insisted in my hearing that the FBI had inspected the DNC servers.
Never did.
Guy's so full of Schiff,
yeah.
His eyes are brown. They were not happy about that. And I guarantee you, when the time comes, we're going to learn that those servers have been bleached. They've been destroyed. I will bet on that. So, again, just to fight this Democratic National Committee, sour grapes lawsuit will cost me $250,000. People who want to help me can go to stonedefensefund.com, stonedefensefund.com. Or they can go, if they want to get their Roger Stone Did Nothing Wrong t-shirt, they can go to 1776.shop, and all those proceeds go to my legal defense fund. Mike, you've known me, almost 40 years?
Yeah.
I will never bend. I will never bow to these globalist pukes. I will never bear false witness against the president. I will never be Michael Cohen. As I like to say, they can put me in jail, but they can't stop my face from breaking out.
Well, Roger, this is why you are Donald Trump's last man standing. And this is why the full force of the government, in every shape and form, has been shaped into the long, sharp object and is being shoved right into your eye. I wish you the very best. You know, I'll be talking to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Roger Stone, the Beau Jest of the Republican Party. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. We're going to be right back after these messages. I got a caller on. I'm going to pick you up, so hang on there. Here's your Channel 7 WBEN First Alert forecast for today. It's going to be cold all day, minus 20 to minus 35 degrees, wind chill. High of 8, low of 3 degrees. Frigid start to tomorrow with sun and clouds. It's going to rebound in the temperature area. High of 29, low of minus 5. We're going to have snow early Wednesday, going to turn to rain with some 20-mile-per-hour breezes. High of 41, a low of 30. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Pat in Buffalo, thanks for calling in and hanging on.
Hey, Mike, it's good to hear you. The president needed to realize that the art of the deal only works when both sides want something.
You're right.
Let the people speak with a national referendum for the wall, not for $5.7 billion for a 200-mile stretch, but for $50 billion for the entire project to be completed and needed. Let Chuck and Nancy deal with that and see what they have to say. I don't believe these fake polls that only 35% of people in America want the wall. What do you say?
Well, I don't believe the polls on this as well. It's worded very cleverly. When you ask somebody whether they want border security, the numbers go well past 50%, up into the 60s. Anybody who believes that if you just focus all of your resources on the legal ports of entry, let's say, for example, that the illegal immigrants that come through the legal ports of entry will stop, that the opioids that come through the legal ports of entry will stop, they're just smoking something. Because if you tighten up the legal ports of entry, where are the ones who come across the border going to go? They're going to go overland. You can't stop overland drug smuggling and illegal immigrant smuggling without a wall. It's an integrated solution. You need technology and personnel at the ports of entry. You also need a barrier on the overland routes. Anybody who says otherwise is just not a very serious analyst.
I totally agree, and there's good Democrats and Republicans alike that both want this wall, that don't have a voice. We're having no representation. Trump's standing alone with us, the people. It's time for him to let the people speak. I know it's a gamble to try the referendum, but I really feel it could pass easily.
Well, I'll tell you, there's some legal barriers there, but I appreciate the suggestion. The problem we have as a nation is that we're headed for much more dire times. And the wall, you know, in the end, is just a small part of it. Pat, thanks a lot for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your service on the radio, Michael. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Well, I think we're done for the day here. I got a couple of minutes. I just wanted to, I'm going to be off. Sandy will be back tomorrow. Joe and Dave Bellavia on this afternoon at 3 o'clock. I really am very concerned about what's next. I see all the signs. I've talked to people who know what's going on. I see the lineup for sponsorship of the articles of impeachment. It's happening as we speak. We know, in fact, a texter mentioned it, and I should read it, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is already gone in a lot of ways. In fact, she's now announced that she will not work through February. And, you know, she's ill enough where I don't think she's going to come back, if she can at all, or whether she will in the end. And if she does not come back, they will not allow Donald Trump to have a third nominee to the Supreme Court. The left would rather burn this country down. You don't have to look any further than the Kavanaugh hearings, the Kavanaugh protests, the scratching of the fingernails on the metal doors of the Supreme Court when he was confirmed. The completely hysterical screaming. If you like that, you are going to love what we're about to be in for. Except it's not just going to be screaming. It's going to be very well organized. I believe it's going to be violent. And I believe all of us need to be aware of what's next. If you're not paying attention now, you certainly will be then. All you got to do is look what happened to those kids in front of the Lincoln Memorial and how they have been burned down on social media. And some of them, their lives, their careers are at stake and maybe over. Thanks a lot for listening in. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. God bless you, Buffalo, New York. Caputo out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.